Hey everyone, welcome back to Gateway Episodes. This is season 2. On this show, we take a look at TV shows that we might want to get into. For this season, we are actually looking at specifically mini and limited series, and we will start by watching one episode and see if it's something that hooks us and gets us to step through that gateway. Joining me and the person who suggested today's show is Joey from the Affable Chat podcast. How's it going, Joey?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I'm so excited to be here and to talk about this show with you.
Yeah. I'm excited to have you on, man. This is a good pick. This is a show that always kind of caught my interest, but I just never really got around to.
Perfect.
So So when we were going back and forth and we were kind of talking about things that I was like, okay, what have I not seen? What have I seen? And when you mentioned Undone, I was like, that's it right there. So, you know, I was obviously very interested to get into this, but why don't you give the people who might not know the show a little bit of info on it?
Okay, well, I actually have quite a bit to say about it, so I can start right now if you like.
Yeah, go for it.
It's Undone is difficult to use traditional labels to describe the show. It's purposely occupies a space between definitions and traditional genres, which kind of reinforces the topics and themes of the show itself. A sort of infinite regression of motif that expands beyond the walls of media and spills into real life, you might say. That straddling lines is one aspect of why I feel like the show is so real to me. The creator, Raphael Bob Waksberg, celebrates just how strange real life is in this and his other surreal animated television show, BoJack Horseman, which I'm also a huge fan of.
I didn't know it was that BoJack guy. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. Okay.
He and I seem to agree that weirdness and absurdism strengthens a show's appeal to realism. And a show that is really trying to be honest cannot exclude the gray areas of reality or the pure mystery of the human mind. Again, it's really hard for me to say that this show is a comedy, or this show is a tragedy, or this show is about time travel, or this show is about trauma. It's all of those things. Is it a movie or a television show? It's an 8-episode limited series, so it's neither of those things either. And I can't even say that this show is animated or that this show is live action, because it's also both of those things as well. Because Undone is rotoscoped, meaning that they film the scenes with real actors in real locations, but every frame has been drawn over. The result is a visual experience unlike any other. You get the freedom of animation, and that allows for some of the most mind-melting transitions and visual metaphors that I've ever seen. And on top of that, you get the extreme detail of a real human face dealing with the complex and heavy emotions. The show feels incredibly imaginative and expressive, but the characters feel so real that they can just step out from your screen and into your living room.
Yeah. Very, very well said. And are you familiar at all with Kurt Vonnegut? Have you ever read any of his stuff?
Oh, yes. I love
that. Okay, because that's the vibes I was really getting from this, where it is kind of just like this weird, unstuck in time, just kind of like, is happening? And like you mentioned, it's kind of comedy, kind of tragedy. You're not really sure what genre or like feeling you're living with in any of this. So, you know, that reminded me of Vonnegut a lot. I'm a really big fan of Vonnegut, especially his book, Goodbye Blue Monday. It's got another title, Breakfast Champions.
I read that twice in a row. I love that book.
Such an incredible book. Like, everybody talks about Slaughterhouse-Five, but which is great, don't get me wrong, but Breakfast of Champions is one of my all-time favorite novels. It's such a trip, and you're just like, what is going on in the best possible way? And this really has same vibes.
It's so rich. That one's amazing. Yeah, this definitely has, I don't know, I wouldn't put it in the same category as Vonnegut, because Vonnegut's tone is way more absurd. This show is way more realistic, and even so more. I feel like Vonnegut is closer to BoJack Horseman in a way than Undone is. Undone is a lot more serious. It's not playing around so much. It's not as wacky as BoJack is, but it still deals with some of the same like heavy themes of like trauma and loss that I think is really powerful. And the characters themselves are probably like stand out for me as so well developed. They're like rich characters are something that you can only really get in television shows, and Undone uses that to its full advantage. It takes just like mere instants for you to understand every single character and realize who they are. But as the story goes on, of course, more and more is revealed, and that creates a more complex picture for each and every one of our main characters. And this is beyond just like simple arcs, right? It's revealing values and moral dilemmas, and it's putting them to the test and daring you, the audience, to do the exact same thing. The result is that Undone does almost everything perfectly. It feels like it does everything perfectly, but the characters themselves like come to life. They're so much more than the show themselves. And it's not just that they drive action for the plot, right? It's not just meeting those bare minimums. It's expanding and coloring the world, and they're challenging you to engage more deeply and to read beneath the surface, to ask why, and then have the extremely cathartic experience of being able to answer that question yourself. The characters give so much to the story. It was so easy for me to understand why they would act the way they did and to imagine how they might act in the future. I mean, this is some of the best character development I've ever seen in any medium. And it's, you know, it's gourmet shit. It's premium. It's perfect stuff. And, you know, like people say we live in the golden age of content, and Undone's characters are a result and proof of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I got such a good feel for them after having only watched the one episode, you know, because there is so much character interaction in such a unique way where she is talking to her sister in this same conversation in all these different contexts. And I thought that was a really cool way to do it. And you see, you know, her dad, who is also kind of like unstuck in time. Like, and yes. I really dug all of that. And I think that, you know, like you mentioned, the animation style really lends itself to that because it allows them to kind of do all these really interesting things with these characters while they still feel realistic. It's not like you're watching a cartoon, but you're not watching reality either, in that, you know, Rotoscope, which I haven't really seen in anything outside of like some old, like this is like the first modern thing I've seen that's Rotoscope. I've seen a lot of like older stuff like Lord of the Rings, obviously the 1970s, and like The Hobbit, that whole series, which kind of, interestingly enough, I feel like Rosa Salazar is kind of like almost the new Andy Serkis, whereas she, you know, because she you know, did this, obviously, and she also did Alita Battle Angel, where she was, you know, I don't know if that was mocap or what, but it was very much like she was doing the performance and it was her performance, but them kind of like CGing on her face, and the same thing with she has her performance and it's all her emotions, but they're just drawing on her face. And it's a weird niche that she's found herself in. I've only seen her in those two roles, but yeah. I think that she's been really incredible in both of them.
Yeah, I mean, this really shows a lot, right? I mean, I think there's so much to love about the like what rotoscoping allows you to do. It's beyond just like trying to show something or like an interesting medium, right? It allows like them to break away from reality at any point, right? And that's something that Alma faces throughout the series, but especially in the second episode, is that she suddenly finds herself with one foot in reality and one foot in kind of a dream state or some other like imaginative, you know, world, fourth dimensional space or something, right? And she's able, and she's transitioning between that rapidly. And you never really know where she is personally or like physically. So when rotoscoping allows you to get deep into the reality of the world, but also for it to break away from that seamlessly without ever changing the medium or compromising the visuals, right? It's always like it's always under the surface and then willing to spring forward whenever they need it, which I think is amazing. Just like the whole idea of like straddling lines and like never quite knowing what's real and never quite getting to that point, that vagary, that kind of in-between space is where Undone sits. And it does that in every aspect of it. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that vagary you talk about, I think really came through in this episode. And we'll get to like why you picked this episode in a little bit. But for me, it definitely felt like a good one because it's like, okay, is she like kind of losing her mind, or is she actually having these powers? And you don't know through the entire episode. You're just kind of like, maybe she, well, how could she know this though? If she just, but maybe, but I don't know. And it's, you know, it's that same thing that it's something that I, you do see a lot in a lot of really good media of just kind of like, you never know what's real, or because you are really in her point of view. So you,
yes,
and she's, you're wondering, is she losing it? She's wondering, is she losing it? So I thought it was a really good entry point. And I'm curious to see, you know, in the rest of the series, and spoiler alert, like, this is something I'm definitely going to be stepping through the gateway with. I was like, I was so invested in this, the story of hers and this character, and just kind of like finding out what's going on. And I'm, you know, no, don't spoil it or anything, but I'm really curious to see if it does give any hard answers about, like, oh, okay, she is a time traveler. It looks like it's going that way. That's the way the episode seems to end, but I'm still not 100% sure on it. But yeah, like, why did you, so what are your reasons exactly for choosing episode 2 as being kind of the entry point rather than like episode 1 or something else?
Well, okay, so when I first was emailing you, I'm like, well, obviously you had to pick episode 1 because episode 1 introduces everything. Like, that's always how it is. But it's not quite, that's not quite the case. For something like this, right, it's really, again, it's not really a movie, but it's kind of a movie because it's only like 4 hours of television. I mean, it might be less than that because I think each episode is less than 30 minutes. But yeah, the, but you can, I mean, it's easy for you to split up as well. The thing about this episode is it's sort of the first thing that happens, because the very first episode, she gets into the car accident. And then they go back and explain why she got into the car accident and what she was doing and feeling the days before that happened. The second episode is after that trauma happens and what happens to her, and kind of jumpstarts the rest of the show. So that first episode is really important for understanding the world and the characters and understanding where she's coming from. And then this next one kind of is the hook, right? It grips you and says, okay, like, this is what we're going next. And what's interesting, I think, is that the car accident, and I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, the car accident becomes less and less important as the show goes on, as the story of the family and like the tension between, you know, what's real and what's not becomes more and more apparent. The initial trauma fades just as the scars fade from Alma's, you know, accident. So you, as the audience, are gripped in for this, you know, it's a traumatic, mind-blowing experience and triggers the rest of the show. But ultimately, it's not even the thing that you're left with, right? When you finish the show, maybe you and I can have an interesting conversation about about then. Then that's all I'm going to say. But that's like I think that it leaves you with so much that even that initial hook isn't the thing that you're thinking about later.
Yeah, and that's really interesting. It's something that as I've been doing these miniseries for this season, it's something that I've discovered that often episode 2 is kind of a really good entry point. Whereas so often the episode 1s are a lot of that, just kind of like, okay, we need to give you the premise, we need to do the table setting, because it is kind of just like the first act of a movie, because it is, you know, miniseries are these kind of interesting middle point between a long-running TV show and a definitive movie, where it gets to kind of live in the middle. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to do the series, because I love these miniseries so much, is because they get to live in this cool middle ground. That's why I think they've become so popular, especially in recent years. And so
right,
many
they're accessible.
Exactly. So many streaming services are starting to do them now. And I've kind of talked about in the last episode how they went away for a bit in like the 2000s, and now they're making a big comeback. But yeah, so like, you know, the first episode I covered, and I talked about this on that episode a little bit, but was The Queen's Gambit, and how that first episode is just so much just table setting, telling you who the character is. Another one we did is The Tenth Kingdom, and after going back and rewatching the first episode now, I'm like, well, so much of this is just a fantasy world. We need to just tell you the rules and how everything works. And, you know, and it's, you know, it sounds like it's the same thing here. It's like, okay, this event happened, this, you know, that started everything, and it takes a little bit to kind of get to where you're going. And episode 2 is really where things start to click and start to take off. Is that fair?
That's true. That's definitely true.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to talk a little more about Alma, actually. So
yes,
another
please.
Thing that I like about our protagonist, Alma, she shares a lot of characteristics with BoJack Horseman as well. Both Alma and BoJack are cynics. They're witty. They're really cutting. And they refuse to adhere to any sort of expectation, which gives them a unique view of the world and allows them to see what seems, at least at first, deeper into people and understand deeper, like, why people act the way they do, because they're not burdened by expectation or by any sort of, like, adherence to any sort of structure, basically. But the thing is that they use, both of these characters do this, they use this as a mechanism to distance themselves from other people. And specifically with Alma, she is separating herself from her family and her boyfriend. And this happens in the first episode. She ends up breaking up with Sam, her boyfriend, because he loves her too much, essentially. So what's interesting is how she has this unique view, right? She has a unique worldview, and it becomes even more unique after the accident. Yet, like, what part of that is her, and what part of that is her problem? You know what I mean? And, yeah. And like, can she retain that if she keeps on to it? Well, I think this show can be kind of boiled down uncharacteristically to Alma just take the dang pills. But I think that if you are ever in a situation where you had to make a choice between medicating yourself and wondering whether or not that would affect who you are deep down, right? Mm-hmm. As Diane says in BoJack Horseman, would it just, like, erase who I am? And, you know, if am I only the darkness inside me, right? Is there anything else? It's a very interesting question. And I think this show would, if you're, that's something that you've ever asked yourself, I think this show would engage you in a way that nothing else ever has, because it's that the thing, that tension, that idea is in the background, like, festering the entire time. And it's something that Alma never even addresses directly, at least not early on. It's something that she has to come to terms with and try to understand who she is, but also, like, what part of her is real.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's really interesting. This reminds me of, like, a kind of debate that me and my roommate got in a couple weeks back about, like, you know, free will versus choice, and it feels like this is kind of playing in that same sphere.
Well, any time travel show is going to, I mean, you mentioned Vonnegut. It's going to play exactly with that.
And I love good time travel stuff, and I hate bad time travel stuff. And there's so many shows that, like, kind of play it really fast and loose with their own rules of time travel. Like, as much as I don't hate the show, like, it's a show that I enjoyed a lot, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just got, like, ridiculous when it came to their time travel, and they're changing their rules and just kind of being like, okay, well, this is set, and this, since it is a limited series, they don't have to worry about, you know, okay, well, like, later on, we have to do this other thing that changes this rule.
Well, you get a taste of how time travel works in the show, right? Mm-hmm. She's able to move within herself, right?
Yeah.
To different places in time, which I think is a really interesting concept. It's very Billy Pilgrim from Slaughter.
Yes, Billy, exactly. That's kind of what reminded me of it.
She's not really, I mean, she's moving through time, but she's also, like, still in her own body, right? She's still embodying herself. She's just experiencing, like, events out of order, essentially.
Exactly, and that's why I specifically kind of use the phrase "unstuck in time," you know, because they kind of do that, you know. So I thought that was really cool. I love good sci-fi shit. I love good time travel shit.
Well, I know this isn't. I'm not supposed to pitch you another show, but have you seen Dark? Have you seen Dark on Netflix?
No, I need to.
Oh,
I need
my
to.
God!
Okay. Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of all those actors on Dark, so.
It's very good. It's best time travel show I've ever seen.
Did you ever see, speaking of time travel on you know, all this kind of, like, interesting, you know, just kind of, like, causality and, like, fate versus free will stuff, did you ever see, it was a show that I covered in my first season, did you ever see Legion?
I watched the first season of Legion.
Okay.
More seasons? I couldn't stomach it because I was on Hulu, and so I had to watch ads. So
that is a little rough, but yeah,
I think I have the premium membership now or something. But no, yeah. I thought it was very interesting. I really liked how they explored his mind and how like other people could see what he was experiencing and weren't affected by it, right? Whereas mm-hmm. he was trapped and terrified by the monstrosity that was living inside of him. Other people could see it and recognize it, even though it was hiding from him. I thought that was pretty
cool. Yeah, exactly. And it deals with a lot of the same, oh, if I remove this darkness from me, am I still the same person? So just wanted to have a quick mention for that. But yeah, I like I said, so I'm, you know, I kind of spoiled it earlier, but I am definitely going to go and like watch through all of this. I'm very excited to watch it. It was tough for me even to like not watch any more of it, like because I watched it I think like 4 or 5 days ago, and I was like, okay, like I've got for the premise of the show, I can't watch anymore. I've got to keep it to just this this second episode, which is titled Hospital, by the way. So yeah, I'm very excited to see more. We'll have to talk about it once I watch the rest of it. And also a cool thing about this, I was like, look, because I looked up the lengths of all the miniseries that I'm watching, and this is the shortest one. This is basically a like long-ish movie. I think it's only like, and I think it ends up being about what, like close to like 2 or 3 hours, something like that. I want to say
it's probably between 3 and 4.
Yes.
I ended up, I mean, I don't remember the first time I watched it. I think I probably watched it in 2 sittings the first time. But this time I ended up watching it in 3 sittings with my fiance. We watched the first 3 episodes and the second 3 episodes, or next 3 episodes, and then the last 2 episodes a couple of days ago. So, yeah, I think it's easily digestible. It's easy to binge, but it's also easy to divide it up. And I think something like this, I think it's great to let it sit for a little while and then come back to it. Just because it gives you so much to think about and so much to consider.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very, very bingeable, but then you can also treat it like an episode of TV.
It's also bite-sized.
That's what's exactly. It's that it's like really cool.
It could be a meal, or it could be a snack.
Yeah. And I keep going back to this, how you know it is that these are the middle ground between TV and movies, but it really is, you know, where it's like, okay, this is, each episode is kind of its own independent thing, but it's not like the Brady Bunch or something where it's like you just watch an episode and then Marsha doesn't have braces in the next episode, you know. Right. Like it's you know, it is an arc, but there are each, you know, these little acts. And I did just look it up, and it's 181 minutes, so if my math is right, that'd be about 3 hours.
Just over three hours.
Yeah, so you know, that's shorter than The Irishman, so
yep.
So yeah, definitely very bingeable, very
well,
easy
good.
To
I'm
get
glad
into.
I'm glad did I win something if you are gonna watch the show?
I don't know, I gotta come up with a prize now. That's a good point. I gotta come up with something, some gold star or something, you know. But yeah, did you have any final thoughts you wanted to impart on that we didn't get to touch on yet on Undone?
Let me see here. So I think that, like, if you've ever felt like you were between worlds or something special about you that would be lost with some sort of medication, then I feel like this show really would speak to you. And if you've ever felt like your family is both your personal anchor and the chain that leads you back to the surface, I highly recommend you watch this show. And if you ever want to just explore the anti-temporal nature of memory, or the beauty of distant connections finally clicking, then this might be the show that you're looking for.
Yes, that's well put. You know, I definitely hit on some things with me where it's just like that interesting, unique relationship with your family. It's like, okay, I get some of that. I have younger siblings, you know, I get that.
Yeah.
You know, I loved all the time travel-y, you know, Billy Pilgrim / Desmond Hume-esque, her, you know, unstuck in time stuff. I was digging all of that. So, yeah. Thank you again, Joey, for coming on. We mentioned Affable Chat. Tell some people about that and anything else you want to pitch to people here.
We are a weekly podcast. We mostly talk about movies. The show is called Affable Chat. You can find us on every platform. Just search for Affable Chat. We're the only Affable Chat out there. We have a Twitch stream that goes live every Tuesday. My co-host Benjamin hosts that, and we watch videos and talk about stuff. We also have a YouTube channel called Affable Chat, and you know, a Twitter and an Instagram and all that stuff. So if you are interested in what I have to say here, like the way I talk or anything like that, you can check us out. We talk total spoilers, you know, no such thing as spoilers on Affable Chat. We go all the way through and talk lengthily about whatever we want to talk about, mostly about movies though. Our most recent episode was Palm Springs, the another time travel movie about a time loop with Andy Samberg. that was a critical darling from Sundance that we talked about at length. So come check it out, and there you go.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to have to listen to that episode because I did have listened to a couple episodes I was put out there. Really good show, guys. Definitely go give it a listen. I'm going to have to listen to Palm Springs one because that was my number one movie of 2020. Like, I absolutely loved that movie. Yeah, it was.
Oh, we had a guest brilliant. On there, and he said it's one of his favorite movies, too. So yeah. Maybe you'll be well represented.
Okay. So, yeah, everybody definitely go check that out. As for me, I also do another podcast called Underrated, where we talk, that's also a movie podcast, where we talk about underrated films or ones that are under the radar, anything like that. It's on whatever app you're listening to. It's on all the apps there. So whatever app you're using to listen to this podcast, first go check out Affable Chat and then go check out Underrated.
Hey.
I'm sure you'll have a good time. Or, you know, look me up, check out my podcast handle that me and my friends use when we all podcast is The Undercast Company. There's going to be some more episodes of Gateway episodes. I'm not sure what when or this is dropping or in what order of the season, but I know there's a few episodes to go, and this isn't. There's a few episodes in the past. Yeah, if you guys like this, there's plenty more from both of us. But thank you again,
Eric,
Joey.
Are you sort of unstuck in time right now about where
I
these
am? Yes.
Are?
Yes, that's a good point. I'm just like, I don't know what episode. Is this episode
sort of
3? Is this episode
6? Where am I?
Yeah. But, yeah, very good point. But, yeah, this has been super fun. Everybody, thank you again, Joey, and I'll catch you guys next week.
Thank you very much.